Well, I'd like to greet each of you in the loving name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful that we're able to get together this way today. I'm grateful that regardless of the distance, that the Holy Spirit is here with us in great power. And that's the desire. I know that's on our brother, Elder Benny Case's heart as he comes before us to bring God's word today. That as Mike prayed in the closing prayer for Sunday school, that the Lord's counsel would be here with us, that the all-powerful Holy Spirit would lead and direct in this service and bring us the very things that touch our hearts and direct our lives and draw us closer to Him. And so with that, I'll give you my brother, Elder Benny Case.
Thanks, Jerry. I really appreciate the prayers. And as I was studying this week, there was a number of things that came into my mind. And then Friday, we took the van in for service and found out that it needed more dollars worth of work than it was worth. So we spent Friday evening and all day Saturday and traded it in and got something else. But it's just one of those things in life that you get hit with, that takes you away. You have to, it's urgent, so you have to deal with it. But it can easily distract you from what's important. And I guess what I thought about last night was, we have a couple of examples of people who came back to what was important, and even to the point where they gave that last full measure of devotion in this life. And I want to start that, and you might even think of it as a little bit of a history lesson, but I want to think of it as devotion and dedication. I'm going to start the dates I'm going to give you are approximate because we don't know for sure. It's just that they're commonly believed to be around these dates. Start about 150 years B.C., and I'm going to start in the 7th book of Mosiah, and I'm going to start reading at the 28th verse, and that's on page 241 in my book. And again, that's the 28th verse of the 7th chapter of the book of Mosiah. And it came to pass that there was a man among them, whose name was Abinadi. And he went forth among them and began to prophesy, saying, Behold, thus saith the Lord, and thus hath he commanded me, saying, Go forth and say unto this people, Thus saith the Lord, Woe be unto this people, for I have seen their abomination and their wickedness and their whoredoms, and except they repent, I will visit them in mine anger. And except they repent and turn to the Lord their God, behold, I will deliver them into the hands of their enemies. Yea, and they shall be brought into bondage, and they shall be afflicted by the hand of their enemies, and it shall come to pass that they shall know that I am the Lord their God, and am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of my people. And it shall come to pass that except this people repent and turn unto the Lord their God, they shall be brought into bondage, and none shall deliver them, except it be the Lord, the Almighty God. Yea, and it shall come to pass that when they cry unto me, I will be slow to hear their cries, yea, and I will suffer them that they be smitten by their enemies, and except they repent in sackcloth and ashes, and cry mightily to the Lord their God, I will not hear their prayers, neither will I deliver them out of their afflictions. And thus saith the Lord, and thus hath he commanded me. Now it came to pass. Yeah, somebody's having, I think, with their battery, or they got two cell phones close to each other. If you can hit *6, that will put you on mute. And then if you need to say something, you can do *6 and come back again. That'll help prevent that. Okay, let me continue here. Verse 39. And now it came to pass that when Abinadi had spoken these words unto them, they were wroth with him and sought to take away his life, but the Lord delivered him out of their hands. Now when King Noah had heard of the words which Abinadi had spoken unto the people, he was also wroth, and he said, Who is Abinadi, and that I may and my people should be judged of him? Or who is the Lord that shall bring upon my people such great afflictions? I command you to bring Abinadi hither, that I may slay him. For he has said these things, that he might stir up my people to anger one with another, and to raise contentions among my people. Therefore I will slay him. Now the eyes of the people were blinded, therefore they hardened their hearts against the words of Abinadi, and they sought from that time forward to take him. And King Noah hardened his heart against the words of the Lord, and he did not repent of his evil doings. So, I wanted to kind of bring this in. What we have is Abinadi came, and he prophesied to the people what he's supposed to, but both the people and their king didn't want to hear it. And in fact, the king was kind of clever, saying, well, wait a minute, he's being divisive. He's trying to say things that says that what we're doing isn't right. And so anybody who says what we're doing isn't right is being divisive, and so therefore we need to kill him. And it, you know, and so Abinadi ran away. Just like I'm going to say probably most of us would. I'm sure I would. He went and he hid. But something happened, and so we're going to continue here with the 45th verse. And it came to pass that after the space of 2 years that Abinadi came among them in disguise, that they knew him not, and began again to prophesy among them, saying, Thus hath the Lord commanded me, saying, Abinadi, go and prophesy unto this my people, for they have hardened their hearts against my words. They have repented not of their evil doings. Therefore, I will visit them in my anger, yea, in my fierce anger, will I visit them in their iniquities and abominations. Yea, woe be unto this generation. And the Lord said unto me, Stretch forth thy hand and prophesy, saying, Thus saith the Lord, It shall come to pass that this generation, because of their iniquities, shall be brought into bondage, and shall be smitten on the cheek. Yea, and shall be driven by men, and shall be slain. And the vultures of the air, and the dogs, yea, and the wild beasts shall devour their flesh. And it shall come to pass that the life of King Noah shall be valued even as a garment in a hot furnace, for he shall know that I am the Lord. And I'm going to skip over a little bit here into... I'll start again on the 69th verse. And it came to pass that King Noah caused that Abinadi should be cast into prison. And he commanded that the priests should gather themselves together, that he might hold a council with them what he should do with him. And it came to pass that they said unto the king, Bring him hither that we may question him. And the king commanded that he should be brought before them. And they began to question him, that they might cross him, and thereby they might have wherewith to accuse him. But he answered them boldly, and withstood all their questions, yea, to their astonishment. For he did withstand them in all their questions, and did confound them in all their words. And it came to pass that one of them said unto him, What meaneth the words which are written, which have been taught by our fathers, saying, How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. So, you know, by saying this quote, apparently these priests did know some of the teachings of God. So it's pretty amazing. But let's see how Abinadi answered them. And now Abinadi said unto them, Are you priests and pretend to teach this people and to understand the spirit of prophesying and yet desire to know of me what these things mean? I say unto you, woe be unto you for perverting the ways of the Lord. For if ye understand these things, ye have not taught them, therefore you have perverted the ways of the Lord. Ye have not applied your hearts to understanding, therefore ye have not been wise. Therefore, what teach ye this people? And they said, We teach the law of Moses. And again he said unto them, If you teach the law of Moses, why do you not keep it? So he's put very plain things down in front of them. And he knows that this, even though he's doing exactly what God said for him to do, what he's been tasked to do. He came 2 years ago. They wanted to kill him. He left. But now he's back again. And he allowed himself to be captured. And he's now in front of them as their prisoner. And he knows that the things that he's saying, they find offensive. Because he's telling them the truth, and they know it to be true, but it's hard on them. I'm going to skip down here to the 100th verse. I'm just going to read 2 verses here. And now, when the king had heard these words, he said unto his priests, Away with this fellow and slay him, for what have we to do with him, for he is mad. So, yeah, obviously he must be crazy if he's doing these things. Because, you know, he's here in front of us, he's our prisoner, and we can kill him if we want to. So he must be crazy because he still persists in telling us that we're wrong. So, obviously, anybody who tells us that we're wrong has to be crazy. And they stood forth and attempted to lay their hands on him, but he withstood them and said unto them, Touch me not, for God shall smite you if you lay your hands upon me. For I have not delivered the message which the Lord sent me. And what's so important about that is that apparently Abinadi knew what the outcome was going to be here. But he also knew that he had a message to deliver and that they could not do this eventual outcome until he had delivered the message. And now we're going to go to skip down a ways because there's a lot more here. In the 8th chapter of Messiah, we're going to go all the way to the 70th verse of the 8th chapter. And I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and read all of the intervening things because the story of Abinadi is a very powerful story. But I'm bringing some things to our mind here to show how this is, and we're going through the expanse of time here. It's now in the neighborhood of 148 BC. It's 2 years later after this, the first round with Abinadi, and so he came back 2 years later, and here we are again. So now we're in the 8th chapter of Messiah, starting with the 70th verse, And on, in my book, that's on page 254. And now it came to pass that after Abinadi had spoken these words, he stretched forth his hand and said, "The time shall come when all shall see the salvation of the Lord, when every nation, kindred, tongue, and people shall see eye to eye and shall confess before God that his judgments are just. And then shall the wicked be cast out. They shall have cause to howl and weep and wail and gnash their teeth. And this because they would not hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore the Lord redeemeth them not, for they are carnal and devilish, and the devil has power over them. Yea, even that old serpent that did beguile our first parents, which was the cause of their fall, which was the cause of all mankind becoming carnal, sensual, devilish, knowing evil from good, subjecting themselves to the devil. Thus all mankind were lost, and behold, they would have been endlessly lost were it not that God redeemed his people from their lost and fallen state. But remember that he that persists in his own carnal nature and goes on in the ways of sin and rebellion against God remaineth in his fallen state, and the devil hath all power over him. Therefore, he is as though there was no redemption made, being an enemy to God, and also is the devil an enemy to God. And now, if Christ had not come into the world speaking of things to come as though they had already come, there could have been no redemption. And if Christ had not risen from the dead or have broken the bands of death, that the grave should have no victory, that death should have no sting, there could have been no resurrection. But there is a resurrection. Therefore the grave hath no victory, and the sting of death is swallowed up in Christ. He is the light and the life of the world, yea, a light that is endless, that can never be darkened, yea, and also a life which is endless, that there can be no more death." And so Abinadi is talking to him because he has a message to deliver, and I picked out these verses because everything that he says before that's kind of building up to this, to let them know that it's the coming of the Redeemer, the fact that Jesus will come, he will redeem his people, and because he is resurrected, his light shines forever. It cannot be put out. It cannot be darkened. It's impossible. And that the only thing that stands between us and salvation is our sin. And that we have to give it up. But, of course, I think most of us know how this story ends out. That they persist. And so we're going to go over into the ninth chapter here, skip over a few more verses. Chapter 9 starts on page 256 in my book, and we're going to read what happens here, because there's another point I want to get to. "And now it came to pass that when Abinadi had finished these sayings, that the king commanded that the priest should take him and cause that he should be put to death. But there was one among them, whose name was Alma, he also being a descendant of Nephi. And he was a young man, and he believed the words which Abinadi had spoken. For he knew concerning the iniquity which Abinadi had testified against them. Therefore he began to plead with the king, that he would not be angry with Abinadi, but suffer that he might depart in peace. But the king was more wroth, and caused that Alma should be cast out from among them, and sent his servants after him, that they might slay him. But he fled from before them, and hid himself, that they found him not. And it came to pass that the king caused that his guard should surround Abinadi and take him. And they bound him, and cast him into prison, and after 3 days, having counseled with his priest, he caused that he should again be brought before him. And he said unto him, Abinadi, we have found an accusation against thee, and thou art worthy of death, for thou hast said that God himself should come down among the children of men, and now for this cause thou shalt be put to death, unless thou wilt recall all the words which thou hast spoken evil concerning me and my people. And before I go on and finish this story, I want to point out here, Abinadi came back after being gone for 2 years. He allowed himself to be captured. He stood before these men. They were going to, after he got started, they were going to grab him and kill him right then. But the Lord was on him, and he said, no, you can't do that. I haven't yet delivered my message. And he delivered his message, and he told them about the plan of salvation. And then his message had been delivered. They were allowed to lay hands on him. And now here he is, and what they're going to use is the plan of salvation and tell him that unless he denies that Jesus is going to come, they're going to kill him. And I think any of us can understand that this comes down to that devotion and that commitment that I was talking about. Abinadi had prepared himself before he showed up after 2 years. When he showed up again after 2 years, he was already prepared for this. This was not something that after they threw him in prison he prepared for, although I'm sure he prayed all the way through this. He was prepared when he came. He knew what the end was going to be, but he knew he had a message to deliver. He just didn't know what effect it would have. Now let's continue on here with 13. And now Abinadi said unto him, I say unto you, I will not recall the words which I have spoken unto you concerning this people, for they are true. And that ye may know of their surety, I have suffered myself that I have fallen into your hands. Yea, and I will suffer even until death, and I will not recall my words, and they shall stand as a testimony against you. And if you slay me, you will shed innocent blood, and this shall also stand as a testimony against you at the last day. And now King Noah was about to release him, for he feared his word, for he feared that the judgments of God would come upon him. But the priests lifted up their voices against him and began to accuse him, saying, he has reviled the king. Therefore the king was stirred up in anger against him, and he delivered him up that he might be slain. So he was, even though he wasn't converted, he believed what Abinadi told him. But the priest said, oh, wait a minute, he reviled the king. And so his anger was again kindled, and so he delivered him to be killed because of his anger. And it came to pass that they took him and bound him and scourged his skin with faggots, which is whips, yea, even unto death. So they almost beat him to death. And now when the flames began to scorch him, he cried unto them, saying, behold, even ye as ye have done unto me, so shall it come to pass, that thy seed shall cause that many shall suffer the pains that I do suffer, even the pains of death by fire, and this because they believe in the salvation of the Lord their God. And it will come to pass that ye shall be afflicted with all manner of diseases because of your iniquities, and ye shall be smitten on every hand, and shall be driven and scattered to and fro, even as a wild flock is driven by wild and ferocious beasts. And in that day ye shall be hunted, and ye shall be taken by the hand of your enemies, and then ye shall suffer, as I suffer, the pains of death by fire. Thus God executeth vengeance upon all those that destroy his people. O God, receive my soul. And now when Abinadi had said these words, he fell, having suffered death by fire, yea, having been put to death because he would not deny the commandments of God, having sealed the truth of his words by his death. So that closes out the story of Abinadi. But again, I want to focus on that devotion. He took that and he did what he had to do, knowing that he was going to be killed. But he did it because he had a message to deliver. There was one man who heard the message. I mean, really heard it. The rest of them heard what he was saying, but rejected the message. There was one, and his name was Alma. And that's a different story, and I'm not going to go there, but the reason Abinadi came back wasn't just to glorify God. He came back to suffer death to serve Alma. He did it to give Alma a chance, a man he didn't even know. But Abinadi loved him. He didn't know him, but he loved him, and he did it. He did what God asked him to do for the soul of one man. Now, I'm going to skip forward about 207 years. And we're going to go to Romans. Now, Paul had started his ministry, and at the time that he wrote the Roman letter, he wasn't yet in prison. He was had just ended his third journey, and I think he was in Ephesus, if I remember right. I should have written that down, but he wrote the letter to the Romans because he was hoping to come and visit them. Certainly not under the circumstances that he ended up in Rome, but he did plan to visit at that time, and that was somewhere around 57 to 58 AD that he wrote this letter. And I'm going to read the first 17 verses of the first chapter of Romans, because I love the way Paul always introduces himself. Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also, the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's just his introduction, and I just love how he says who he is and why he is. And I think the reason Paul was that, part of it was because he was a very educated man, but part of it was because of what happened to him when he was converted. The fact that he thought he was doing good by getting rid of these nasty heretics called Christians. But when he was struck down, and the Lord said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And it came into him, his heart, that this Jesus Christ who they professed was real and truly was the Son of God, his life changed. His life was built around that. And I'm not going to say that he didn't have weaknesses after that, because he testifies of that, that he had constant temptation. He was a man, and so all the things that pertained to mankind pertained to Paul. It wasn't suddenly that this thing happened on the road to Damascus and suddenly he was no longer a part of the human race. He was very much a part of the human race. And he fought himself his weakness on a daily basis. But I want to go on here because it shows again what I'm talking about today, about dedication and about devotion. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. You know, just, I want to come and see you all and talk to you, that I can have the blessing of meeting you, and together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can receive the blessings of God. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. In other words, you know, I've planned this trip many times, you know, and I guess I got to relate to that. There's a lot of times I've planned to go to reunions, and just because of circumstances, I haven't been able to get there. But Paul had planned to go many times, and it just hadn't quite worked out. He's going to get to go in a couple of years, but as a prisoner, but still, he's going to get to be there for a while, and the first time he's a prisoner is not going to be quite as bad. But let's go on and read what he's saying here. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I'm going to skip over an expansive time here. In the meantime, what happened is that Paul actually got to go to Rome. What happened was he was taken a prisoner of Rome, and they traveled. On the way, they were shipwrecked. He was bitten by a venomous snake and lived. And they took him on to Rome. And that, somewhere around 61 AD, was when they arrived at Rome. And he was imprisoned there, but not in the prison that I saw when I was in Rome, but it was more or less in house arrest. The reason being was that he was preaching God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and even though he was a Roman citizen, it was a matter of Caesar was their God, so he was, in the Roman way of looking at things, preaching blasphemy by teaching this Jesus Christ. And so they, you know, rather than throw him in a regular prison, they just said, okay, you're confined to this house. You have to stay here. But people came to him, and he ministered to them, and they ministered to him. And he was in prison for about 3 years. And Caesar said, well, you know what? He hasn't done anything technically against the law, I'm going to release him. And he let him go. And so then Paul went and did some more travels. Then along about 66 AD, They drugged him. They dragged him back to Rome because the Jewish governors had done similar to what they did to Jesus. They went to the Roman rulers and said, "You know what? This guy isn't, you know, preaching Caesar." And the funny thing is, the Romans knew this. They knew that the Jews didn't worship Caesar as their god. But yet, when the Jews came to the Romans and said, "Hey, this guy isn't following our religion, and he's not following your religion either. He's doing this Jesus Christ thing, so he's an offense to us, and we demand that under Roman law, because he's a Roman citizen, that he be executed for his blasphemy." The Romans did just what Pilate did for Jesus and said, "Oh, well, I don't really find any cause, but if you want me to kill him," rather than have a revolt, "we'll take care of it." So they took him back and they put him in the cell that I saw when I was in Rome. And that's where he spent about the last 18 months of his life. While he was there, he wrote to Timothy, who had been under house arrest with him, as near as we can tell, in that first time, because Timothy, as a member of the ministry, had also been there. So I'm going to go to 2 Timothy, because this was a letter that he wrote to Timothy while he was incarcerated for the last time, and this time it was in that dingy little prison cell that I saw. But once again, I want to focus on the man's devotion. And I'm going to read the entirety of the first chapter and the first 10 verses of the second chapter, because they kind of go together as a whole. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. There, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands." So apparently Paul had been the one who ordained Timothy. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given unto us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Two things I want to point out. Maybe more, but in the first chapter here, Paul talks very much about the fact that Jesus was made manifest unto him and that he is appointed as a preacher. But the fact that Jesus saved us, called us with a holy calling for his own purpose, and that purpose was given to us even before the world began, because God knew what the plan was. We're the only ones who don't. And that the appearing of Jesus, who abolished death through his resurrection, gave us this thing, not because we did such good works or would do such good works. He gave it to us because he chose us because of something he saw in us that he knew about us, that he would give us grace and forgiveness. It's such a powerful thing to think that I preach by the grace of God, not because I'm a good guy and I don't struggle, but because he saw something in me that would be of value to others, and so he suffers my struggling. And I want to point out that Paul had the same dedication and devotion as Abinadi, even to death. Where Abinadi said what he said, did what he did, so that Alma could be converted, so did Paul, so that the people that he was able to speak to might be converted. And I want to, you know, and he's talking about the masteries and getting entangled in the things of this life. And I don't want anybody to mistake me for saying, okay, we shouldn't have jobs and we shouldn't be involved in life, because I'm very much involved in life, and I hope that's to the better of those around me. But that when our priority becomes that, then it becomes like J. Paul was talking to us in Sunday school class about something that was an idol in his life that he had to put down. When we become entangled in the things of the world, then those things, whether they be political or they be because we feel good that somebody asked us to be a leader for them, or whatever it was that came to us that we want to justify somebody that we love that we know is in sin, but we don't want to tell them they're in sin, so we want to just justify it and make it okay. When we entangle ourselves in that, we lose our focus. We lose the purpose for which the Lord called us, and we have to strip that away from ourselves so that our eye can see clearly what He wants us to do. And we have to become the people who are devoted. And, you know, as it talks about these labors, I want to point back to this ninth verse. It says, because he's talking about that Jesus was raised from the dead according to the gospel. And he says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. He was in prison, but he knew that the word of God and that the power of the Lord cannot be bound. Just like Abinadi said, that everlasting light that can never be dimmed. So, Paul endured what he endured for the elect's sake, just like Abinadi endured what he endured for the elect's sake. In that case, we know it was a man named Alma. In Paul's case, there were many people who heard him, who were converted, who were ordained, who went on to convert others. And just like he's telling Timothy, commit these things to good men who are also able to teach. Continue to spread this gospel. He had to have known that his time was numbered and that he was going to be put to death soon, so he was hoping that he would see Timothy one last time. And I don't know historically if that ever happened, but this was his last letter to Timothy, and he gave to Timothy this charge and told Timothy, do it like I've done it. Endure whatever you have to for the sake of those who God has already chosen, who will hear your words, and through them, power of God will bear witness. That is the charge. That is the devotion. And we can see through time that this has happened time and time again. But it is our responsibility not to let it down, not to give up, not to be distracted by our own weaknesses or our own priorities, but to understand that through our weaknesses, He will make us strong. We just have to keep doing what He asked us to do because somebody out there is listening. Thank you very much for your time today. Jerry, I'll turn it back over to you.